Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we are talking about some of the poisons and contamination that may be going into some of the products we use every day without thinking about it. Obviously, people are not dropping dead en masse or anything like that. It's more the cumulative effect of all these chemicals that I wasn't aware are not even tested. We're talking about everything from everyday facial cleansers to tanning lotions to makeup to, well, you name it. We're going to find out more about it from Heather Sarantis. She's the program manager with the Breast Cancer Fund, and we're going to be focusing on some of the big manufacturers and how they're responding to this new information that's really just kind of seeping out. We had hoped to be speaking with Kat James, as I promised earlier this hour. She's the author of a book called The Truth About Beauty, but she's on a road trip and apparently can't get to a landline, so we hope to have her on a show in the near future. And thanks, Heather, for joining us on short notice.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what your involvement is in the Safe Cosmetics campaign.
Breast Cancer Fund is one of a number of organizations that acts in the national coalition to raise the bar on safety standards for cosmetics and personal care products in this country and around the globe. We work with groups like Friends of the Earth, Healthcare Without Harm, Women's Voices for the Earth, and a number of other groups to say, you know, number one, why do our cosmetics and personal care products contain ingredients that are known to cause cancer or fertility problems or other health concerns? And why is it legal for companies to use these untested ingredients in our products that we're exposing ourselves to day after day?
And I would also ask, why did not the Environmental Protection Agency or the FDA bring this to our attention? Why, again, is it sort of grassroots environmental activists or health groups like breast cancer organizations and the Environmental Working Group?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question, and the question we put right back to the FDA, which is, you know, you are the governing body that's empowered to do something about this. We want to see you take action and leadership. And we've seen very slight changes in their behavior. Earlier this year, they, in response to a petition that's part of this coalition, said that they would enforce the law that's on the book to actually require companies to put a warning label on products that have not, that contain ingredients that have not been tested for safety. So when we look at the FDA, we see very limited laws that exist and very limited enforcement of those laws, and the fact that they have to issue a statement that says we're now considering actually enforcing the laws on the book indicates to us that we need to put a lot more pressure on the FDA and companies to really be accountable to these issues.
Has this problem of some of the chemicals in our products perhaps not being safe, has it been growing over the decades? I'm just thinking about someone, you know, my age, 40-something, who's been using beauty care, self-care products, personal care products for, you know, three decades or so now. Can we at least feel better that, you know, 20, 30 years ago they were not as noxious, or is that not necessarily the case?
That's not necessarily the case. I mean, the laws weren't stronger then than they are now. So, you know, depending on which products you were using, they may or may not have had similar ingredients, many of which could be used in industrial processes, greasing things, floor cleaners, stuff like that. That's been many of these ingredients have been on the market for a number of years.
Now, we've been talking a little bit about some of the problems with some shampoos, but what about that other thing that many of us 40-something women and men put on our hairs, and that's something to hide the gray? What's that doing to us?
Yeah, hair dyes are particularly challenging. They have a number of ingredients that that are derived from coal tar. So coal tar dyes are highly linked to increasing cancer risk.
And that's but mostly found in dark black dyes, is that correct? So what about
dyes,
lighter colors?
Well, those ingredients can be found in a whole range of products. And because they're designed specifically to sink in, they're put on your hair to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The penetration enhancers can actually really open you up to what's in the products themselves. Not only that, a number of products are marketed with the label of healthy or natural or something to that effect, which doesn't necessarily mean anything in particular.
Well, unlike when I go, you know, to the market and buy or pharmacy, when I go to the hairdresser, she puts on my little color. I have no idea what the name of the product is, what's in it. I did ask at one salon, and this aroma of all these chemicals was so strong I stopped going there. So I go to a nice small place, very airy. But, you know, there's a lot we don't know about what our beauty practitioners are putting onto our hairs. Would a semi-permanent, like 6-week, then rinses out kind of product be better?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on product by product, but right now there are very few healthy hair dye alternatives that are being used. And you actually raise a really interesting point as well, which is not only are we concerned about our own health when we get our hair dyes, but think of the people who work in the industry.
I do, actually. I asked my hairdresser at this big fancy place, aren't you concerned? And she kind of shrugged, like never thought about it.
Yeah, my hairdresser actually decided to start her own business because she was getting sick from the exposure to all the chemicals. And now,
what about nail salons?
And
you know?
Nail salons, similar risk as well.
Okay, so we should all walk around with scruffy-looking nails and gray hair because we're going to live longer. We may not look as good, may not be as enjoyable, but we're going to live longer, right?
No, well, I don't think that's the answer. But
what is the answer?
The answer is to, number one, educate yourself about what's in the products and to ask yourself, you know, what are the alternatives that are out there. A really great resource to do your own research is a website called Skin Deep. It's at www.ewg.org/reports/skindeep, and you can actually go in and enter different products that you use, and it will spit back a safety rating for those products on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most having the most probable harm.
Okay, we're going to put that up on our blog site. By the way, if you don't know, ecotalkblog.com is where we put our most current information up about shows. Lots of links up there and background information about our guests. We also have a newly revised website at ecotalk.net, so please visit both. Heather, we just have about 30 seconds more. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Please find out more about the products that you're using and make decisions today that can affect your health over the long term. Please join us at www.safecosmetics.org. Become one of our activists. Find out more about how you can get involved.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Heather Sarantis. She's a program manager with the Breast Cancer Fund and particular to this conversation involved with the Safe Cosmetics campaign. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. Go out and have a great green week, and please be more ecocentric.